Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
If you would stand with me for just a moment, I am in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. We are beginning in verse 45. Jesus is presenting himself to almost 500 people that have gathered there. He is in his resurrected form. He has been raised from the dead. I think if I would have seen him in that form, that I would have believed anything that he said. Verse 45 says, then opened he their understanding. That means there is something about what was happening they did not understand. The word understanding is from psychic. There was an intellectual gap. There was a knowledge gap that they weren't putting the pieces together, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Do you understand how huge that is? That the God of heaven that robed himself in flesh prophesied his death, burial, and resurrection, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And it would be Jerusalem that would receive the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit in an upper room. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tell somebody the promise. When God makes a promise, it will come to pass. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. God bless you. You may be seated. So glad that you're here today. The word endued literally means to take a garment and dye that garment in a solution so that every thread of that garment is impacted by the dye. So that every facet of that garment is changed, transformed. It will be different when it's removed from that solution. I want to deal this morning for just a few minutes about the characteristics of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, because there's much confusion in the church today, and yet it is very simplistic in our understanding when we begin to examine it. So I need somebody to help me today. And I'm looking, just looking, I'm just looking. Lord, there are no volunteers in this place. So I will select one. Jeremy, come and help me. See, if you talk long enough and use the right terminology, you can put enough condemnation on people, they'll do anything. Not really. Just looking for somebody that wanted to be here. So your job's going to be very simple today. And that's just to follow me. So you can stand right there. Somebody put your hands together for this great, studious young man that's willing to endure all of these things. So there's about 9 or 10 issues that I want to just look at and examine biblically for just a moment. Some of these characteristics are common to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some are common to the gift of tongues. When I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nobody explained this to me. I went to the altar, I repented, and we've learned from 2 Timothy 2:25 that the Lord grants us the gift of repentance. You don't just come to God anytime you want to. That's why it's critical, if the Holy Spirit deals with you in conviction, that you surrender at that moment or your heart can get hard. Do you remember the word that we used last week? Scleros, from which we derive our English word sclerosis, or hardening. So I want to stay pliable and sensitive to God. How about you? And so when I came up out of the water, because I was under great conviction, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon me and I experienced it in its fullest and in its power, without teaching, without explanation. Because a hungry man will seek after God, and a hungry man will eat anything. Have you ever been hungry? So hungry you were willing to eat things that you said you would never eat, like Brussels sprouts. Oh, you've never been that hungry. Cauliflower, liver and onions. What all do you all eat? And so when you are hungry for God, God meets you at that place of your hunger. Because if you're not hungry, God's not always interested in giving you more if you're not thankful and you're not hungry. There's not a day that passes that I am not hungry for the things of God. So let's jump in this. And Jeremy, I need you to select the box that says for everyone. I want to take you through some scriptures in the book of Acts and just hold that and let everybody see it, and then we'll put it in the place that it belongs. Because Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled plerato. In other words, when it filled the house, there was no more room for anything else. No more room for your prejudice. No more room for your judgment. No more room for your criticism. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled, plerato. That means there was, it means to cram till there's no, it doesn't mean just to pour in. It means to pour in, press in, push down, shake together, so that there's not room for anything else. And one of the challenges that the church has is that we just want a touch of God, but what we need is to be filled with God to where it overflows. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and then something happened. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It simply means this: as the Spirit gave them something to say. Now, if this scripture is new to you, hang with me today for just a moment, because I'm in the 37th verse of Acts chapter 2 through verse 39. Now, when they heard this, Peter, this radical swearing fisherman, become Jesus' disciple, stood on the day of Pentecost and began to preach. And his message was so convicting that they were pricked in their hearts. It means to gouge and make to feel uncomfortable, like some I see already. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were so convicted by what Peter preached. And he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, say the promise, is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And for those of you that are saying, well, God hasn't called me, 1 Timothy 1:9 says you have been called with a holy calling. Jesus is calling. He is tenderly calling, come home. Because redemption means to buy back. God's ultimate purpose is for you to be redeemed. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who is hungry. If you want it, you can have it. And I cringe calling it an it, because it's not an it. It is the power and the spirit of a departed person. That's what a ghost is. I had a man tell me, I don't want no ghost. I said, you need a ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. It is the spirit of a departed person. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through verse 17. Samaria is experiencing incredible revival. Philip is preaching Christ. He's not a Baptist. He's not a Presbyterian. He's not an apostolic. He's not a Catholic. He's not a Lutheran. He's preaching Christ. He's preaching the power of the anointing. And when the apostles heard about people being liberated from demon spirits and people being healed, and the fact there was great joy. The Holy Spirit will bring great joy. If you're lacking joy today, check your priorities and check as to whether or not you're still overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Peter and John were there on the day of Pentecost. They were in the upper room. Their names are mentioned in Acts 1:14 as part of the 120. Who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they had experienced baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. I know I didn't ask you to do this, but if you could put up verse 18, because it does not specifically say that they spoke in other tongues, but verse 18 says this, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given, he offered money. You can't buy this. You're not educated enough. You don't look good enough. This is a free gift that God wants to give people to empower them and help them walk through life. But I want you to see that it is for everyone. They don't have it, but I quoted it. I'm in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Peter is in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was an Italian soldier. He had heard about the greatness of this God. He prayed to God. He gave offerings to God. And through a series of miracles, Peter made his way to Cornelius' house. And he began to preach to them. And the Bible says, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, that's you and I. Do you understand? Until Acts chapter 10, we had no hope, we had no promise, we had no future, we had no covenant. Jesus said, I came to my own, and my own received me not, but to them that received him gave he them the power to become the sons of God. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you that I don't know how many people were in Cornelius' house, but normally there would be not just Cornelius and his wife. It could be relatives. It could be his parents, his grandparents. It could be his in-laws. Sound familiar? Could be his children. We don't know how many were there, but we do know that in Acts chapter 2, 120 were in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 8, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, all of Cornelius's house was filled. But let's go to one more passage of Scripture in the 19th chapter of Acts, beginning in verse 1. Because Paul will discover some of John the Baptist's disciples. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast to Ephesus, he found certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. One translation is, we've not heard that it has been poured out. We didn't know it was available. And he said unto them, well, how were you baptized? Because he is examining their foundation. They said unto John's baptism, and Paul said, well, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that's on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they did what? They spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. We know there was at least 12 men there. We don't know how many other people were there. But it is undeniable that wherever the Holy Ghost was poured out in the book of Acts, they all received it. God did not look down and say, you're going to be Pentecostal. You're going to be Lutheran and not believe in this. so I'm going to withhold it from you. You're going to be Episcopalian. You're not going to believe it in it either, although you over here, Martin Luther, the founder of your church, spoke in tongues. You're going to be Methodist, but nobody's going to tell you that the Wesley brothers spoke in tongues. Nobody's going to tell you that John Wesley and his brother, when traveling from church to church by horse, one night John fell off his horse, and his brother writes and says, "My brother is laying on the ground speaking in some foreign language." And so nobody's going to tell you that. And to those of you that have followed Anabaptist and you embrace water baptism, good for you, but many of you are not going to believe this because you're going to find a way out of it, and you're going to take scriptures that are appropriate for the gift of tongues and you're going to use it for this. But it's for everybody if you want it. Now, I'm going to get in trouble, but I've been in trouble before. It's a power issue. It's not a salvation issue. The blood is what saves you. But I will never deny the power of God that transformed, changed my life forever, broke alcoholism, pornography, lust over my life. I will not stand back and not at least give people the opportunity to say, "I want to understand this, and I want to embrace this in my life." So if it's for everyone, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to put that right there. Number two, the baptism or the overflow of the Holy Spirit is exactly that. It's an overflow. Because once Jesus Christ comes into your life, how does Jesus come into your life? You prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to come into your life. You repented of your sins. What if Jesus is 6'4", 220? Some of you have a problem. But 1 Corinthians 12:14 says we're baptized into one body by one Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies the blood for forgiveness. And so once you come to Jesus and acknowledge your sins, there is an element of the Holy Spirit in your life. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the overflow. When anything overflows, there's a sound. When a creek is dammed up, like Judge Freese and I used to do at the creek next to my grandfather's house, we would go down there and put rocks in that drainage ditch just to see how fast the water would run over the top of it, and it makes a sound, my friend. It's amazing to me that people, when we begin to talk about this, they get locked in on a particular issue instead of allowing the overflow of the Spirit of God to be in their life. And Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "I speak in tongues more than y'all. I would that y'all spake in tongues." But I'm very aware this morning that some people will embrace this and some may harden their heart and resist God. But my responsibility is not to make your decision for you. But it is the overflow. Nobody taught me this, but a hungry man will receive anything at any time. So the overflow goes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is right here. It's an overflow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit which was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. Number three, let's examine this. It is for some. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 through 30. Paul writes about a particular element of speaking in tongues. And he says, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Because once you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the Spirit. You can worship in the Spirit. How many of us have come up against situations that we did not know how to pray? Did not know how to pray. 25 years ago, on the way home from the hospital, I did not know how to pray. My daughter was having seizures. Nobody gave me any answers. And when you're hungry and you're looking for an answer, you open the corridors of your heart. And I just prayed in the Spirit all the way home because therein lies refreshing and rest. But this particular aspect being for some, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And he places that together because the gift of tongues is specifically designed by God to communicate with his people. That's happened in this church. It is for comfort or to bring peace. It is to exhort you or to get you to act. It is for edification, to build you up. And so the gift of tongues is not for everyone. And so if we are in a service and we're worshiping God and somebody stands up and speaks in tongues loudly above the normal flow of what's happening, then that requires interpretation. But if I'm worshiping God and standing in this altar and I feel the presence of God like I did this morning, I will lift my hands and begin to glorify God in another language that I did not learn. I didn't go to school. It is an experience that God poured out that said was available for Dave Dolan. And Dave Dolan's life was such a mess that he had tried religion and religion didn't help. But the true power of the gospel, true repentance, experiencing the power of water baptism and the overflow of the Spirit that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit radically changed his life. Some of you need to be glad. Some of you didn't know me then, so you don't know. But it's for some, and it goes with the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, help me, Jeremy, is not for everybody. It is for those that yield their hearts. It can be used in a church service. It can be used in a Bible study. We had tongues and interpretation in our Bible study when we begin to initiate what you know as New Life Church. It is amazing to me that people in churches today believe in the gifts of the Spirit, like the gift of healing, the word of knowledge that happens often here, the word of wisdom, miracles, but then when it comes to tongues, either we don't understand, or we've been told it's not for today, or we've been told it's of the devil. If you've been told it's of the devil, then you need to look around at some of us because it changed our life. Because we were living for the devil and we never had that experience. Now, I don't know if you're bored today or you already know this, but it's critical that you take this information because we are called to reach this world. And when people come to this church, they may hear this, and you need to have the information and know how to strategically, with wisdom, guide them through to a place because everybody wants more of God. Sometimes they just don't know how to ascertain that. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know about this whole tongues thing. I didn't know about it. How many of you were like me? You heard somebody speak in tongues and you went, is anybody going to call 911? Is anybody, shouldn't somebody be doing something? Are they off their medication? And we laugh about that, but it's true because people, where are you going? Oh, that's not a wrong person. I thought that was Jeremy. I said, why is Jeremy leaving me? Sorry, Noah. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you'll put it on the screen for me, and verse 8. Charity never fails. We know that. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. And then he says, when that which is perfect has come, that which in part will be done away with. And so there are people that believe, since Jesus came, and we have the word of God, that which is perfect is done away with. So prophecies and tongues should cease. Well, let me ask you something. Has knowledge ceased? How many are going to school? Stop it. Do not go to school. Because the Bible tells us when that which is perfect has come, that which in part will be done away with, that knowledge shall cease. Some of you are glad, some of you are smiling. Pastor told me I don't have to go back to school. He said, knowledge shall cease. Why is it then that we are still hungry for more knowledge? Because Jesus, in his perfection, when he comes back to establish his kingdom, There'll be no need for tongues and interpretation. The rapture will have taken place. Those of us that are born again will be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb while the wrath of God is being poured out on this earth. My friend, it's coming. And so he came back. Thank you. I was afraid. You can't offend Noah, though. He's so incredible. He's doing even more incredible since he got married to Lacey. Isn't that right? Say yes. She's listening. Hallelujah. So number four, it's for the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 10. But the manifestation or the expression of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Then he says in verse 10, because he goes through the gifts of the Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So if somebody was to stand up right now and speak in tongues, it requires an interpretation or you're out of order. Hello? And Paul was very clear about that. It is not my assignment to invade that and give you all of the scriptural references in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But he makes it very clear. Because when somebody is preaching under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit will not interrupt himself. But at the end of a servant, when there's opportunity, if somebody stands up and speaks in tongues, there is of necessity. If it's louder and takes the attention and the direction of the service, then there is a requirement for interpretation. That's why he put the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation, and that goes there. Can I just share with you just something? Because years ago I was preaching, it was like the second message I'd ever preached at Christ Tab. And I was in my prayer closet preaching. And I started praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I'm getting understanding of what I'm preaching. And what is going to happen and what I'm saying. You can pray in tongues and there are times when God will give you the interpretation. If it's necessary for the moment of your life. And the Lord spoke to me when I was done praying in tongues and said, there will be many in the altar tonight that will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can't arrange that. I can't make that happen. I can't force that on anybody. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. God will never force anything on you. And we are not here to condemn anyone today. We're just trying to help you have an understanding so that you can move along in God. Listen to me very carefully. If you're here today and you don't ever speak in tongues in my lifetime, I'm not mad at you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do whatever I can to help your life. But we would be negligent in our duty if we didn't ascribe unto you the essence of what can bring power in your life. Power to pray, power to preach, power to witness, power to overcome every element that comes against you. So it's for the church. Now, number five, it is for power. Jesus declared, and I'm in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. He made this statement and declaration, and he said, you shall receive power, dunamis, the worker of miracles. You want to know where the miracles are? My question is, where is the power? Because miracles cannot be worked up. Miracles don't just happen because you psych somebody out and get them to believe something. There has to be a power behind that. We found out last week that you cannot separate the Word of God or the Holy Spirit because the Spirit anoints. So he said, you shall receive power when? After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you shall be witnesses to me in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And they were scattered abroad. Go with me for just a moment to Acts chapter 3 and verse 3. We're talking about Peter. Peter is the one that denied Jesus three times, then began to speak words that he hadn't spoken in 3.5 years. But on the day of Pentecost, he was the recipient of this power. He was the recipient of this gift. His heart was open. He understood. He listened to what Jesus said. Acts chapter 3, verse 3. Peter and John went to the temple as was their custom. They had a habit in going to church. They were disciplined in going to church. And when they came to this place called the Gate Beautiful, they discovered that there was a man there asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." See, when you are filled with the power of God, filled is what? Plerato. It means to put in you that there's no more room for anything else. Okay? So when you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have room for fear, negativity, judgmentalism. Well, they wouldn't be in that situation. They probably caused it themselves. And God's trying to set up an opportunity for you for his power to move through your life. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive. Did you know there are people around you that are expecting to receive something from you because you are a Christian? Because you believe in this God that can do anything, that can do all things. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. I left my MasterCard at home. I don't have enough money to facilitate what you need." By the way, I do know a good orthopedic surgeon. That sounds more like the conversation we would have today. But the New Testament church needed the power of God. And some would say that the New Testament church needed that power, but we don't need it today. And I would respond and go, "Really? You don't believe we need the same power that initiated the church? Do you not believe that we are not confronted with the same demon spirits, the same cultural upheaval that they were confronted with at the beginning in the birth of the New Testament church?" I would disagree with you and tell you that if there is anything the church needs, it is the power of God in every person's life. He said, "I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, because miracles follow the power of God. And the man went into the temple. He went back to church. He went back to the church he'd been attending, and they had song service, and he got up and ran around the church. Well, let me ask you a question. If you'd been lame all your life, how would you come to church? Would you respond differently? Would you respond with greater enthusiasm? I'm just asking. And so there's power. Thank you. That goes with the baptism, the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of tongues is for God communicating a message to the church. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 27. I was in Romania with my son and another pastor back in the early 1990s. And Pastor Kaba, who preached under the influence of Ceausescu, who was a tyrant, a dictator, and persecuted Christians. He tells of the story, and he drove me by the house where they were one night. They were sitting in a prayer meeting, which was illegal, by the way. It's amazing, when the government makes prayer illegal, we want to pray. But if it's not illegal, sometimes we don't realize the power that we have in communicating with God. He said, "We were sitting there in a prayer meeting and people were worshiping God. All of a sudden, somebody spoke in tongues and somebody interpreted. And the interpretation was this: for the next 30 minutes, sit quietly and do not say a word. Do not get up and move. Do not leave. Sit quietly." We might, in our American service, think that that was pretty radical. But they understood the implications. In about 20 minutes, communist guards burst through the front door of that home where they were having a Bible study. They were sitting in the living room, and they heard the guards say to one another, "We heard that there was a Bible study taking place here tonight, but there's nobody here." God was communicating a message to his people to help them, to warn them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be two by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret." What does he say? When somebody out of the flow of what's happening begins to speak in other tongues. It can come by two or three. It doesn't have to. One person can speak in tongues and there can be an interpreter. I have been in services where multiple people have spoken in tongues and the interpretation come. Listen to me carefully. It's not translation. It's interpretation. So the speaking in tongues can be long and the interpretation can be short. You say, that wasn't God. No, it's not translation. It's interpretation. And so he says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. He did not say, let him never speak in tongues again. There is an order and a flow of what is supposed to happen in a service. Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. You know what the word in order literally is? Non, N-O-N, like non-fat, orgiastically. An orgy is where anything goes. And our culture today is weary of anything going, but they are recognizing divine order in the kingdom. And they're not offended by anything that the word says if it has the ability to change their life. All right? So that goes with the gift of tongues. Those of you that already know this, you ought to be shouting amen or something. Three of us. Okay. Number seven, it is for today. Now, the challenge is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues are both for today. God didn't exclude them. He didn't cut that off. He didn't say that it's no more available today. One will go in one place and one will go the other. I'm glad you have him working for you. The guy is sharp. You say, well, if it's for today and I haven't experienced it, the challenge is in Christianity, we sometimes want to reach a place where we're comfortable in our experience and we're not challenged to go any further. That creates religion. Listen to me carefully. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything that's going to happen, but I do know this. I have a God that loves us so much that whatever we confront, whatever we face, he is more than enough. You say, but Pastor, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they heard them speak in their own languages praising God. That's absolutely correct. So if that is true, was there instruction? Was there direction on the day of Pentecost? If there was instruction and interpretation on the day of Pentecost, why did they ask Peter, what do we have to do to be saved? It should have already been interpreted. But we're talking about the outpouring, the promise of the Father that you will receive in Jerusalem. And that's where they went. And they received it on the Feast of Pentecost, fulfilling everything from the Old Testament. Don't make me go back to the Old Testament and prove this to you, because I can, but I don't have the time. So the gift of tongues is for today, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. Couples, you need to hear my heart. If you're facing a dilemma and a crisis in your life, why is it that we don't have more couples, and maybe you are, sitting down and praying and believing that the gifts of the Spirit can function in their life? Sir, maybe God would give your wife the ability to bring a message in tongues, and he would bring you the interpretation and your joy in that home against everything the devil's trying to throw against you would be increased and magnified, and you would have the ability to step out in faith and go, we're not going to be moved by anything. God has spoken to us. Number eight, it needs interpretation. I'll let you tell me where it goes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not need interpretation. There was no interpretation on the day of Pentecost. There was no interpretation in Acts chapter 8 or Acts chapter 10 or Acts chapter 19. If they heard them praising God, that was wonderful. We were in a service in Faith Chapel. Some of you might have been there. There was a man who was a missionary to Peru. He was in that service. He happened to be standing by me. And in worship, I began to praise God and speak in other tongues. He nudged me and said, "Where did you learn to speak perfect Peruvian?" I said, "Sir, I've never taken a language course. Don't want to take a language course. It is foreign to me." He said, "Do you want to know what the Holy Spirit spoke?" Because he understood that. I said, "Sure." He said, "There is a problem in our church at home that I've been praying about, and I've been asking God for wisdom, and the Lord gave me the solution when standing next to you. You were praising God, but he gave me the answer for my dilemma." Wouldn't it have been a tragedy if that had not happened? So it needs interpretation, and I'm in the same scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27 through 28. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent. Let him speak to himself and God. Please hear my heart. When we're worshiping God, you can worship him in the spirit. How do you know that? Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, "I pray in the spirit and I pray with my understanding. I sing in the spirit and I sing with my understanding." Somebody needs to hear what I'm about to release into your heart, because when you are faced with overcoming adversity and you don't know what to do and you've exhausted what scripture you may feel like you know, there have been moments in my life that I just drive down the road, I put my windows up, I put some music on, and I start singing in the spirit. I start singing in tongues. Listen, I've taught this before. It's very difficult to get a church to move in that direction because we sometimes are inhibited and we're so people conscious. But when you can get in a place by yourself where you are just God conscious, I'm telling you, when you begin to sing in the spirit and you're singing in other tongues, it will break every demonic assignment off of your life. Every frustration, every burden. How many of you know that? How many of you ever done that? And you can testify and say, "I know it has broken those things off my life." It can break sorrow. It can break grief. It can break sadness. It can break depression. Can break it off of your life. Number 9. You're going the right way. Needs no interpretation. Baptism of the Holy Spirit needs no interpretation. Listen to me carefully. We've had at least 6 people in the altar in the last few weeks that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We didn't stop. Listen, we didn't make a huge deal out of it because I don't want one experience to be the focal point of what we do in a service. The focal point of what we do should be Jesus and the power of his word. And when the word of God is preached, things will happen, like people being healed. Angie was in the altar, was it last Sunday? Last what? Last 2 Sundays. And we had given an altar call for maladies, disorders, whatever. And one of her legs was shorter than the other, creating enormous pain in your life. Is that right? For years. Difficult to endure. Didn't want to take a lot of medication because it has side effects also. Listen to me carefully. Nobody gathered around her. Nobody was screaming at her. There is power in the word of God. And was it immediately or when you went home? Oh, you had come to see the Holy Ghost movie on a Saturday. And when you got home? Wow. She got home on a Sunday night and decided, "I'm going to pray over myself." She remembered what she saw, what she heard, what had been prayed. Listen to me. Just because something doesn't happen immediately, we walk out without any faith. And go, "Well, I guess it didn't happen." As if God has to do it here. God is not obligated to do anything anywhere. But he does respond where there is faith, where there is the application of the word of God. And all of a sudden, did you limp? You're not limping now. Not limping. And she said 98% of the pain in her body is gone. I believe that if we will teach the Word of God, that God will bring the proper response in our life. I simply want to declare to you today that if the New Testament church needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to establish the church, how much more does the church today need the gifts of the Spirit as well as the overflow and the baptism of the Holy Spirit to carry out and to reach the harvest that God has promised is set before us? Would you stand with me today?
God bless you. So honored that you would connect with us in this program. We pray that this message from the Word of God has been a great blessing to you, has transformed you. Maybe it has released desire to be more than what you ever thought you could be. That's His plan for you. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, says God. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to a place of great hope. We'd love to hear from you. You can connect with us through Facebook or Instagram. We want you to know we're praying for you. We call you blessed. Looking forward to hearing from you today.